Traditionally, this passage is read on the first Sunday after Epiphany. It's called the Baptism of Our Lord. As I thought about Rich's baptism this week, I couldn't get the images of the Texas church shooting out of my head. They're gathering this day in a very different place, aren't they? Last Sunday, I left a great meeting. I had a gathering together with church council and deacons, and we talked about baptism and new members and Advent. And when I went home, I had carols in my ears, remembering the benediction of the angels, peace on earth, goodwill to all. I was thinking about Christmas and how exciting it will be as we gather together for the Advent season. And then I saw the news. Can't be, said. Surely not. Why would someone violently kill all these people, these children, in a church? And the violence against God is heard from those who despise people of faith. They raise the question of God's involvement in human events. And I looked at the comments beneath the article that I was reading. Did you ever read the comments down below? One of them said, they look to God for protection from danger. Ha! Kind of God do they worship? Listen to the words of the psalm for today. Psalm 29, the voice of the Lord is over the waters, the God of glory thunders. The Lord over mighty waters, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. What of other tragedies? Do we take the psalm literally? Decide that earthquakes, tsunamis, and tragedies of all kinds just show the power of God? Do they? Is it more mature to understand that God's created this vast and powerful universe whose forces sustain our lives but may also take our lives? Think about tragedy in general. Earthquakes. Tsunamis. Innocent who perish. The hands of a madman, forces of nature, and where is God? Where is God? While there's a difference in scale, is there any difference in substance whether we lay this question before God in the face of this disaster or on the occasion of any small personal disaster? Have you not said yourself, where is God in your own life? Where is God? Oh, Over the course of a lifetime, there will be asked that question on numerous occasions. In ancient times, disasters, they were always blamed on God. God could have prevented them. God could have done something different. God is punishing us in some way for our neglect, for our sins. And there have actually been some who claim this disaster was God's response to the sorry moral climate of our times. Really? I thought if anyone suggests this, that just reflects to me the sorry moral culture of our times. The arrogance, the hatefulness of some people, you know. And in the name of God, they remind me of the story in Luke 13. At the very time, the scripture says, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he asked them, do you think that because the Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? And Jesus says, no, I tell you, no. But you too need to repent. Those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on, do you think they were worse offenders? Were they sinners worse than others? And is that why God let them die? Jesus says no. Burst the bubble of their self-righteousness or their smugness. Maybe we think we're better than others, and that's why we don't face the difficulties that others face. But Jesus resisted that notion that God causes tragedy in order to punish people for their sins, and so should we. But the other lessons also apply. The disasters need to remind us that we are mortal, that we can die. We're vulnerable. Should also lead us to reflect about our relationship with God. Hopefully, you've been doing that as I've been doing that, and all God's children upon God's earth doing that. Should also call us to action. I love the story of Malcolm Muggeridge. He was an English journalist, and he went to Calcutta because he wanted to interview Mother Teresa, and he was an atheist. She suggested before they talk that they walk around the city of Calcutta and she could show him a little about the people that she was ministering to. Didn't take him long. He was overwhelmed by the poverty, by the sickness, by all of the illness that was there, right there in front of him in the streets. He writes, I became angry with the God that I didn't believe in for allowing this to happen to these people. I found myself screaming, God, do something about this. And for the very first time, he said, I heard the voice of God speaking to me. Malcolm, you do something about this. So what is God screaming to us? Do something. Make a difference. Make a difference in the world. Change things. Do something about this. I'm afraid I have more questions today than I have answers. The answers to most of the questions will be answered in time, I'm sure, by God. Probably not by us. So let me raise a question I can answer on this day when we remember the baptism of our Lord, Rich's baptism, our baptism. Why was Jesus baptized? Assuming Jesus was without sin, baptism as a symbol of repentance and of our sin, why was Jesus baptized? Because baptism means more than just forgiveness, more than just ritual forgiveness. Baptism is a symbol of something else. Do you know why Rich went from one side to the other side? Do you know why he went down in the water and came back up out of the water. Do you know why? It's a sealing a new covenant. It's death and resurrection. It's new life. It's symbolic in that His life, our lives, become new with God's presence and love in them. The means by which we embrace our mortality, we understand that we're not going to live forever, and we don't know how we're going to die. Thank God. But we lay down our lives for God. And baptism is a declaration of our identity and our acceptance of this mission in life. We don't belong to ourselves, do we? Aren't we God's servants? God owns us. Our mission is God's work of loving the world. And this is where our lives end and begin. This is what our lives mean. So far as Jesus is concerned, baptism is this symbol of complete dedication to God. And our absolute reliance upon God. And this unqualified acceptance of the mission that God gives us for our lives. We want to live our lives for God. And what's more, our belief that God was present as the Word made flesh in Christ adds another dimension to Jesus' baptism and offers us this whole beginning point where we answer the question, where was God in the Texas terror? In Christ, God experienced human mortality. In Christ, God was buried beneath the waters and identified with our vulnerability. In Christ, the flood became the victim of the flood. He called us to identify with the victims in some way. How can you do that? Great story. Another pastor friend of mine, a Presbyterian minister, was called to the hospital. A family had been involved in an accident, and his wife and his oldest daughter had died in the accident. He had survived, and his youngest son had survived. His son was in critical condition, and they were together in the same room. Didn't look like he was going to make it. Pastor came in, and she was visiting with him. And as normally happens, the first thing he said was, "Sorry we haven't been at church." My son wanted to be baptized, but we never got to do it. I guess there's no way now, is there? Pastor said, "Oh, I believe there is." "How?" She said, "Where will you find enough water? Where will we find the water?" She said, "We have plenty right here." She wiped tears from the face of the father on her hand and baptized the son. With his tears. I think think Jesus was baptized by the tears of God. I think we're all baptized by the tears of God. I think God was with the terrified last Sunday. The children. And I think God is in the tears of those who were left behind to grieve. That God is in our tears as well. Whether the disaster happens on a scale beyond our imagination or to a single person we know, God identifies with the victims. That's what God does. And He also calls forward a community of love to help each other in their time of need, to heal, to learn fundamental lessons of solidarity, kinship. That's why it's always my delight at the end of every service to invite you to be one of God's children. To accept His love for your life. To stand with Christ. To identify with the victims. To be baptized. To become a part of a community of faith. To share the mission of love in the world and to change the world by it. So I invite you to renew your baptism today. Let the waters remind you of your death and resurrection to new life. And go now. Be His disciple. Share His love. Won't you? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. With You, O Lord, we were baptized into death. With You, let us rise from the waters into new life. Let's rise from the challenge so that we might be agents for You and Your healing love and Your grace for the world. Renew our mission, renew our strength, renew our community today so that we might be Your people and share Your love in service to others and that the world may come to know You. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. I don't know where